I'm in fantastic Flushing, Queens today, and Ian has to go to the courthouse in Jamaica to do some shit for a job. So I'm gonna go hop on a bus and go meet her. Have a late lunch, something like that. And so I figure on the way, why not do ham radio? Because that's one of the most charming aspects of this podcast, is its total portability. Also, what makes its sound quality so very terrible. But that's always kind of been a philosophy of mine, that play to your strengths, you know? I don't have all the fancy equipment Keith and Hem to have. I don't intend to ever get it. But I can just walk around. That's kind of cool. It's like whenever I'm filming stuff for them, I have to make a really deliberate effort to try to keep my camera work like kind of halfway steady and good looking, because actually after the Derby video, the original cut of the Derby, Keith and the Girl TV, it was really long. It was like almost 8 minutes. But a lot of it is just like really quick, crappy camera work. I'm just like shooting from the hip, doing all kinds of weird shit, because to me, especially that day, I mean, I was filming with the shitty DV cam I'm using right now to talk into. So since it isn't going to look fancy, and the sound's not going to be great, and there's not going to be fancy lighting and scene composition and yada yada, then play to the strength. And the strength is that this is a piece of shit camera that you can just fucking fuck around with. Do guerrilla filmmaking and not give a fuck what happens to it. But they don't like that that looks so ugly, which totally makes sense. It's just not my inclination. My inclination is to just be fucking rough and fucking shitty. And I kind of like that anyway. I like that style. What the fuck point was I trying to make? I guess just that I can walk around and talk to myself. Anyway. Makes the trip a little more interesting. Fucking blah, blah, blah to myself. I was just, somebody emailed me earlier today saying they like the show. And when I was emailing them back, I mentioned how, it's weird. It's like, I don't always listen back to myself on Keith and the Girl right away. For whatever reason. I guess a lot of guests don't. But ham radio, I get no problem listening back to. I love it. I love listening to the old shows of this. And in like a weird way, it's almost like it's not me. It's like I'm listening to an older version of me, whether it's from fucking 2 years ago or like last week or whatever. I can just kind of disconnect and just be like, so what's going on with this guy? That was a weird thing to say. Why'd he say that? Or that's clever. That doesn't happen as often, but I don't know, it's just cool. It's like a little audio diary. I really wish like more people would do shows just like how I do them. I like this format. It is like a little audio journal, but anchored to music, which makes it better, I think. Anyway, this song I'm gonna play, man, this song has been wicked stuck in my head like crazy. This used to happen a lot more when I was like a teenager. You know, those golden days, the golden era of everybody's musical development, or most people's, when you really got a lot of time to put into stuff, and those are the bands you always like really remember and identify with, you know, your era. And I would once in a while find songs that, you know, I just loved, like I could just listen to over and over. As soon as it was done, I wanted to hear it again. Anytime I turned on my CD player or whatever, it was the first thing I wanted to hear. Now, that doesn't happen that much these days, but it did just happen the other day. I was looking up Wes Borland stuff, because I've always been a big-time Limp Bizkit apologist. Limp Bizkit's got some good fucking shit, particularly the first album and the last EP. They're just fucking good. You can fucking eat my balls if you don't think so, world. You used to think it was good. Didn't sell millions of copies of the fucking albums by accident. Anyway, Wes Borland especially was always cool. It's one of those cases where he was like arguably as famous or more famous than the singer for a while. He dressed with like the weird black contacts and the crazy monkey outfits and shit. And pretty much as soon as he left, that band fell right apart. So he had this weird kind of Ween-inspired band called Big Dumb Face that I really haven't listened to much yet. And then he's got this band called Black Light Burns that put out an album of covers that was really weirdly shitty, like just way too rough, way too slipshod. Had some weird choices though, like he did a Fiona Apple cover, like As Fast As You Can, the second album. But I really wasn't into that album. But their first proper album, it's called Cruel Melody. I was surprised how good it is. It's like pretty standard, pretty straightforward, a little bit Limp Bizkit-y, a little more industrial. And Wes Borland himself sings, and he's actually not a bad singer. He's got a pretty good voice. I expected a lot worse, especially after hearing that covers album where he sort of deliberately sang really crappy. But the whole thing's not too bad, and the main song, the title song, Cruel Melody especially, I fucking love this song, because I could just listen to this goddamn song all day. It's very much like the kind of thing I listened to a lot in high school. It is definitely like my style of song. And yeah, I don't know, man, I just really like it. It reminds me a lot of him, his Infernal Majesty. It's kind of like a gothic love song, a little bit of fucking like goth Bon Jovi type of shit.
Your heart is empty. I really like this song. Keith tells me it's by Canadians.
Yeah, how'd you hear the song, the Disco Adventure?
Because it's like one of their best songs. It totally is.
It was on one of the online radio stations that I listened to.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, I like the song. And it became my morning song for like 2 weeks.
Nice.
It's a great song. It gets you up and moving. And I like the lyrics, too. No one's got a face left to blame.
Yeah, because I remember I played some metric on one of the ham radios, and you were like, my favorite song is that one. What's that one? Like, tits out,
yeah.
Pants down.
Yeah, certain things they stick in my head, you know. Especially references to body parts. Yeah, so you tell me they're Canadian.
Yeah, they're from Montreal.
Go Canada.
Nice.
Seems like everybody that I like is from Canada. The Klaxons, but that was like really popular for a while, and I wouldn't want to like.
No, that's okay. I was gonna play. You remember?
Yeah, I'll introduce it right now. Sour Girl, Sonable Pilots. Remember that song?
Oh yeah.
That was like their
Sarah Michelle Gellar in the video.
Right. It was when they seemed like they were done, and then all of a sudden they had this one single that hit at one last time. And
I hate that song. So many people, while breaking up with me, have been like, "This song's for you," and I'd be like, "Fuck you."
Well, I just kind of ignored it at the time because it was too popular. So, you know, we both got that disease, right? Where it's like, it's too popular. Yeah. Fuck this. But I listened to like a little acoustic version they did, and I was like, "That is a fucking good song." And it's been years and years, so I'm gonna fucking play it.
Here's
some Stoneable Pilots.
Sour Girl.
That's right.
Good song.
So there's my throw. So what's the klaxon?
They were like part of this thing that was kind of a scene for half a hot minute last year called New Rave. That was like, it was kind of like a mix between electro dance and thrashy rock. But
now let me just, you're all like, I don't really know enough about songs. That is the nerdiest music shit I ever heard in my life that you just said.
How's that nerdy? Wait.
Let me retell that story I just said a second ago, where this morning I was talking about the Arcade Fire and I couldn't remember their name. So I'm like, you know that band, their big album was called Neon Bible? And Ayn's like, that's not their big album, that's their newest album. I'm like, well, sorry, Miss Music Nerd.
You cannot accuse me of being a music nerd. You out-nerd me at all turns.
I can and I will. That doesn't mean I'm not also, but...
Just because I know about cool stuff that people does. You know.
Except grammar?
That was intentional.
Want me to edit that?
No.
Okay, because I wouldn't anyway. All right, so the klaxons are like electro rave with some like, booty garage rock from the Detroit City area circa 1976. With just a touch
of... just a dash of samba.
But everybody's heard of, so I mean, why should we even play it, even though I don't know who the fuck you're talking about?
I guarantee you every single one of your listeners is fucking tired of hearing this song. But, no, they're great. And they're, like, smart lyrics and fun. And this song, so the name escapes me, but it goes, ooh, wait, what's the name of the song?
I'm going to finish this milkshake. Is that all right?
Yeah. Yeah, go right ahead. What the fuck? How come I can't remember the... name of the song. I can think of the names of all their other songs. Gravity's Rainbow and...
Is it Aardvark?
No.
Adam? I'm trying to go down dictionary words to start with A.
No, turn it off for a second while I try to remember this.
In the meantime... I didn't describe where we are. We're in this little cafe place in Queens. I'm supposed to be at work. Or going back to work.
I'm at the courthouse.
Right. The train's got here fast, so she had some time to kill.
I'm billing $125 an hour for my time to sit here and drink a milkshake with my boyfriend. It's nice.
And the website for her law firm, which will remain nameless, has a section about their attorneys that says, our attorneys, with an apostrophe S. And this place charges a fucking shitload of money, and their stupid website has a typo. I don't know. It just offends me. You know how much I charge for my time? Nothing. You know how much this cruise EVD is going to work out to? Like 1 penny an hour. But I'm going to love it because it's going to be so cool to have.
Anyways, post-production, you can fucking put it in. Grab the klaxons.
You're going to have to give me at least like a lyric so I can go Google search it.
What's the song that goes, ooh, ah.
That's not a fucking word. But if I go on YouTube and just look them up, it's probably got a video and shit.
Yeah, it's the video that I played for you where they're like smashing halogen lights on each other and multicolored, I don't know, dance superheroes. And they're flying. What the fuck is that song called?
That's more than enough. I can totally find it. Unless all their videos are mysteriously like that.
No, but they're another band that I saw live that they put on a good show. But they are like over and done with now.
Didn't you say it was like last year?
Yeah, explodingly popular. And then just like everyone got real sick of the scene really fast because it was so... Okay, you know the kids you see walking around, they're wearing like Diglo neon tight jeans with like a mismatched print t-shirt and...
The awesome kids, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, and scruffy and dirty and kind of like if Pete Doherty like, I don't know, fell into a bunch of preschoolers' markers, that's kind of the look.
I always worry when I see kids like that, that one of them will just be like, suck my cock in this alley. And they're so cool that I might do it. They never ask, but like, what if they did? Do you ever worry about things like that? I'm just suggestible, maybe.
Are you that suggestible?
I'm afraid I am. It's just no one ever asks. But what if they did?
Did you just open a door for me to completely dominate your mind?
No, it has to be cool hipster kids.
Well, I have skinny pants.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, they're not in Diglo pink, but I could get some.
Well, all right. I think we got off track a little bit.
Yeah, sorry.
What the fuck were we talking about?
Klaxons.
Oh, yeah, scenes that die. It's like me and Matt were talking about this, like how everybody way over blew how good the Shins were. Because the Shins were always good, but they were never great. And then when everyone realized they were only good, they seemed shitty.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Sorry, Klaxons, I guess you're done for. Except now you live again on my podcast.
Yeah, well, they did a remix with Rihanna.
Oh, yeah?
So they're still cool in the UK, I guess. But the scene's kind of over. But I still like the music.
Like a firefly that burns bright briefly, then dies forever.
You're still broken up about that, aren't you?
Yeah, isn't it weird that show was called Firefly? It's like he knew.
I don't
anyway.
Know anything to add to
that. Yeah, I just nerded myself right back into Nerdville, so I think we'll just play that song now.
Seriously, what the fuck's the name of that song? If I have it on my iPod. No, we're
no, that's
on
all.
It.
Thank you.
Errol Alcon did a remix of it.
And you're not a music nerd.
It's a title. Golden Scans.
Golden Scans.
I needed you to stop talking. Can we just...
No, it's still going. I got all that.
Oh, it's still going right now. Golden Scans. It's called Golden Scans. It's a good song.
Feminine Wiles. I ended up riding the train all the way back to her work. So I'm back in Midtown. Good old Midtown Manhattan. And remember I was complaining about trains earlier? I do like the F. The F line is like... has less stops. It's faster to get back into Queens. But it is so super, super, super loud like crazy because it's underground so all the sound reverberates back onto your head. And rattles your brains. And it doesn't stop very often, so it's going all fast and makes it way worse. So instead I'm going back to my old foe, the 7 train. which I've complained to everyone about at every possible opportunity because it's just so fucking slow. Although this time of day I might be able to get an express, but it's above ground, which makes it a lot less noisy. So all the sound goes out into the surrounding neighborhood. Holy shit, I just passed a chick with huge tits. Ridiculous. Those had to be fake. Yeah, so less noise on the train. So now I'm gonna play. I was looking up, I always get their names confused. There's Robert Patrick and Richard Patrick. One of them is the guy from Filter, and one of them is the T-1000. I think it's Richard Patrick that I'm thinking of, who is the Filter guy. I was looking him up because there's a new Filter album that came out this year that I only listened to once, but it didn't really grab me. And there's another one from 2003 that I never got around to listening to that maybe I'll try to go back and give a shot to. But the 99 one, Title of Record, that was a really good album. So I was looking him up, like, what was that guy been up to? And he was in this thing that I guess, I think maybe I heard of, like these vague rumblings that he was going to hook up with the Leftovers from Stone Double Pilots and start a band. And then it just never went anywhere. I never heard what happened. Well, it turns out they did do it. They put out a whole album. It's called Army of Anyone. Like, get it? Army of One, the Army thing? The truth is they'll take anyone. Army of Anyone, man. Think about it. Fucking think about it and take down the whole government. Take down this whole society. You remember when you were younger? If you were an idealistic zealot like I was, thinking that things were gonna change in your lifetime. Like, really. Like, if we really fucking put our fucking backs into it. Our nose to the grindstone, or whatever the fuck saying. That's maybe we'd eradicate religion. Maybe we'd destroy dopey socialism. Maybe all these stupid ideas that were ridiculous would actually be done for. Not gonna happen. We're gonna be on fucking outer space on other planets. And there's still gonna be religious people. It's gonna be little religious planets and stuff. Anyway. Weirdly idealistic sort of sounding name for this band that didn't do well and nobody cared about. But listening through the album, the very last song was my favorite song. Kind of a nice, mellow, cool ditty. But come to think of it, I don't know that I actually like the whole song. I think I'm just going to play the end, the little bit where it just kind of ends with a nice little instrumental ditty for a couple of minutes. So let's listen to a truncated version of the song This Wasn't Supposed to Happen by Army of Anyone. We'll be right back. There's kind of a weird one. I started getting interested in Blur lately. I always really like that song Coffee and TV they do. I had never seen the video. Apparently it's pretty famous. It's like this little animated milk carton guy named Milky who runs around and has adventures. It's pretty funny. So I started looking up Blur stuff and figured I'd start working my way through the catalog, see what that was all about. I knew, like, you know, Song 2, obviously, and some other stuff. Beetlebum. I guess just from that album. Sing. See, he said, Damon, what's his name? The lead singer. He claimed that their first album was no good, that it was, like, one of the few albums he's not proud of. One of only two, I guess. Anyway, but it has this song Sing on it. It's in Trainspotting. It's a really good song. So I was like, well, fuck you, Damon. I don't believe you. I'm going to download that album. And he was kind of right. It wasn't so great. Supposedly, it was kind of like aping the whole Manchester scene that was going on for a little while, though they were not from Manchester. But I don't really know. I'm taking music historians' word for that. Anyway, then I skipped ahead to the album Song 2 was on. That one didn't really sink in for me, but the one after that's called 13, and it has got quite a few cool little songs. That's the one with Coffee and TV. But the first song, and the first single from that album, was this song called Tender. And I know this song somehow. Like, I've heard it before, and I don't know where. I figured it must have been on, like, a movie soundtrack or something. But I looked some shit up online, and it didn't seem like it was. I don't know where the fuck I know this song from. But I definitely know that I didn't like it. I thought it was a shitty song back in the day. But now, listening to it again, I think my musical tastes have just changed some. I'm a lot more tolerant than I used to be. And this is something about songs from your past, you know? Especially songs you only vaguely remember from your past. Because, like, I went and listened to the first Stone Temple Pilots album again the other day, Core. And it's awesome. It is definitely their best album, no question. But I listened to that thing so much. I just listened to it. How'd you say this? Listened it into the ground. So, after I listen to it again one time, that's it, I'm kind of done. But sometimes these songs you just kind of vaguely remember, they're good because you're not tired of them yet, so you can listen to them a bunch. Plus, they just have these, like, connotations of your past, you know? They just vaguely recall stuff. Like, I was mentioned to Ayn last night. I was really exhausted all day. I didn't really get enough sleep. And we went out to... We were going to go to this, like, free Nas show that Patrice hooked us up with passes to. But it was way too crowded and just way too busy. We didn't end up going. But it was late, so I was, like, hitting the Starbucks at Union Square at, like, I don't know, like, 9:30 at night. And it's just being in a coffee shop late at night like that, getting a coffee, is not something I do anymore because I don't want to stay up all night. But I used to do that all the time when I worked at the coffee shop, graveyard shift. So it just brought back all these memories of working at that coffee shop. And even if they aren't necessarily great memories, it's not like that was my favorite time ever in life. But it wasn't so bad, you know, and just the fact that it was my life and it was things that happened to me, it's just nice to remember them. So this song Tender, though, mysterious, because I don't know why the fuck I know it and where I know it from. If anything, I had negative associations with it because I thought it was a shitty song. But now I kind of like it. It's almost like gospel-y. Anyway, shit, what the fuck was I saying? It's confusing me being in Midtown again, just walking past all these people, and it's so weird how they just ignore you. They don't care that I'm talking to myself. Although just this morning on the fucking super crowded train, there was like this subway preacher who's just standing in like a really packed train, surrounded by people, and just loudly fucking babbling his Bible rhetoric about how he hates gays and all this stupid horse shit. And everyone just ignored him universally, the whole train, while he's just blah, 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 blah. It's just weird. This is a weird town. So the only problem really with this song is it's real long. It's like silly long. It's almost 8 minutes long. That's too long. It's a nice little ditty, but it's not that fucking nice. So I'm going to chop it down by a third, give you the 4 or 5 minute version. And here is Tender by Blur. the song I used to think was wussy and lame, and now I think is wussy and good.
Come on, come on, come on.
Here's one. I found a torrent of unreleased House of Pain shit. So I have no idea where this shit is originally from or why the fuck it was never released. No background info whatsoever. Except that it's clearly old because House of Pain is done. I heard that, Everlast is putting out a new album. It's coming out soon. But I heard that him, DJ Lethal, and Danny Boy, they started a new band called La Coca Nostra. It's essentially House of Pain, just under a different name. But I never really heard their shit. I don't know if they put out an album. I gotta look that up when I get home. But this song is called Irish Pride. Which, as we all know, kids, being proud of anything outside and above yourself is fucking stupid. Don't be proud of your stupid culture, your stupid race, your stupid fucking anything, your gay neighborhood, your dumbass fucking family. None of that shit. It doesn't make sense. It's fucking horse shit. But doesn't mean House of Pain doesn't write some catchy fucking songs. And this song, it's like the perfect drumbeat pace for me when I walk. Usually I walk a little slower, but it's like one of those songs that when this one comes on, my fucking pace speeds up to match the song, you know? Like, I can't help it. And this is just, like, the perfect one. Sometimes songs are, like, almost right, but they're just a little off, just a little too slow, a little too fast. This is the best. This is where I just fucking walk down the street with my fucking shillelagh and be all Guinness-stricken and bullshit Irish pride. Here's some House of Pain.
Baseline followed by the drum kick. Name's Everlast, honey, cause I don't come quick. I last longer than the top battery. You lack skills, kid, please drop the flattery. Get off my nose, Nick. I split the pills quick, roll the mic back up. You wanna fight, I duck. So don't fuck around and bring your hoe. I'll hit that bitch like I was ready for. I got my shillelagh, I got my gun. I'm putting heads out daily and I never run.
that I'm in the big main terminal at Grand Central Station, even though you can't see that. I figure, I don't know, seems like a cool place to record something. And yet another place where I'm sure I can just walk around talking to myself and no one's going to give two fucks. This room is pretty cool. I don't know that it's, like, worth coming to see as a tourist if you're visiting New York, although some people do. But it is, like, a really fucking big room, super high ceiling. Like, I don't know, crazy astrological horse shit on the ceiling and gigantic American flag. A lot of people looking up like I just was and almost walked into a girl. This is like, I got this weird fear of heights thing where even just being down here on the floor, if I look up at like this giant American flag that's being suspended across the room with like these two cords, I can really vividly imagine myself hanging from that cord. I don't know why. Like, I don't know how I got up there. It's just like, bam, all of a sudden I'm there. I'm holding on. Oh, I can feel it right there. Just like my muscles were suddenly like super clenched because, like, you know, hyper fear for my own life. And I guess I'd have to like, oh God, it's awful just looking up, just imagining that. Like, I'd have to like inch over little bit by little bit while my stomach is just going crazy and flipping around. And I don't know what I'd do when I get to the edge. There's not really... It's like, is that a ledge? It was just lights? What the fuck is that? There's like a window over there. I guess I could just kind of hang out by the window and wait for rescue people to come open the window. Oh, man. I could feel it now just like in the backs of my shins. I don't know. Just like, ugh. I went on this roller coaster with Ayn and a couple of her friends. Coney Island. What was the fucking bathrooms in this place? Subways, balcony, dining. All right. Yeah, and it was just, like, certainly not the scariest roller coaster ever made. Scared the fucking shit out of me, like, so bad. I will never go on a roller coaster again. Just awful. So awful. So awful that even if you got girls, like, half laughing at you for being such a wuss, you don't even care. There is no more pride left at that point. You're just like, fuck this. This is insane. Alright, I figure I should turn this camera off before I go into the restroom. Even though I'm not filming stuff, it'll look weird. Like I'm trying to film cocks. Like some kind of mo. I like this. You can fucking buy beer down here in Grand Central and just hang out and drink it. Good old America, man. I love you guys. You're so drunk. Put the Russians to shame. So I'm going to play, I downloaded a whole shitload of weird miscellaneous Beastie Boys stuff a while ago, and this is just like a pretty basic mashup of So What You Want with the Beck song E-Pro. It came out a couple summers ago. And this just made me realize like how fucking silly catchy E-Pro was, man. That was just a good little hook. So put that together with the Beastie Boys. It's very nice little listen. So let's listen to that while I go take a piss. While I go rock a piss. always forget that bathroom. All the bathrooms here. This is like the homeless people's bathrooms. It's where they fucking live. It's where they take their baths. Shave, if they care to shave. Just, you know, nothing wrong with that. It's just busy. New York homeless. I can't figure out if that makes sense or not. I guess it does. I guess there could be worse places. For instance, like Vancouver homeless makes a lot more sense than Montreal homeless. Hence, way more homeless in Vancouver. Remember I saw this homeless lady in Montreal when I was there in like 2003. It was a really, really big snowstorm when I was there. And man, this chick just had so many layers on. Just ridiculous. I gave so much money to homeless people fucking first time I was there in Montreal because I'd never been really to big cities much, especially not on my own. And I just didn't really, wasn't familiar with homeless people. Homeless people in my hometown, they're kind of cute, you know? It's like you just sort of know them. Like, that's Hackenkopf Chinese guy. There's, like, not very many of them. So, yeah, it was kind of overwhelmed, the Montreal. It was just like, wow, look at all these people. Sure, I'll give you some money. Here you go. Here. Vancouver broke me of that pretty well. Although there'll still be times, like fucking Christmas Eve, I remember I had to work at that coffee shop. And it was fucking Christmas Eve. I must have given away $20, maybe more, fucking on my way just down Granville Street to the subway. Just because it's like fucking Christmas, you know? Here, have some money, you fucking meth head. Here you go, crack man. Get some crack. Knock yourself the fuck out. Alright, let's throw another song in here before I get to the train, because the train might be too crowded for me to really talk to myself effectively. Because, you know, when you're walking around, you're whatever, it doesn't matter. But when you're sitting on the train, you're just stuck on a train with a bunch of people. Makes it much weirder. So I was working on a show about songs where remixes are better than the original. I don't know how many of them I'll put in this show. At least one of them, though, because this is some more House of Pain. This is a song from their second album called It Ain't a Crime. That kind of sucked. There were some cool songs on that second album, but this was not one of them. I'll play you a little clip right here. He hit the back door like his name was Carl Lewis. Dipped to the payphone to find out where his crew is. He called back his homeboy Jose. What up? Can I come over, my man? He said, no way. A cop was he was looking all over for. But I was downloading House of Pain shit somewhere, and I got a remix called the UK remix, I think. And I really liked it. It makes the song so much better. But it had this vague familiarity to it. I was like, where the fuck is this music from? Like, I've heard this before somewhere. And it took me ages to finally clue in. I might have read it somewhere, but I think I figured this one out on my own. It just, like, hit me all of a sudden that it's Under the Bridge. Might not be sampled directly from the song, I think. Maybe I did read about it, because I seem to know this somehow, that they re-recorded the guitar bits, like the Beastie Boys did with Jimmy James, because they couldn't get permission from the Jimi Hendrix estate. So they re-recorded these little Under the Bridge licks and worked them into this remix, and it's way cool. Suddenly it became one of the best. Went from one of the worst to one of the best House of Pain songs. So here is It Ain't a Crime If You Don't Get Caught. That's how it is, homie, like it or not.
Johnny was a bad boy. He was a juvenile delinquent. He had his picture on the wall of every precinct. He had a rapper hanging out with his homies, hopping on the blunts and sipping on the 40s. But when he spoke, nobody would listen. And when he was home, yo, his parents, they were dissing. They call him a bum, a worthless piece of shit. So over this, he had a fit. And now he grabs his bag and heads for the door. And walks to the neighborhood liquor store. Pulls out a gat and tells the old man hit the floor. Then breaks open his register drawer. Pulls out the money, stuffs it in his pocket. Points his pistol, then he starts to cock it. The man panics and the gun goes off. Stupid old fool made Johnny blow his head off. But he don't care, cause Johnny was taught. It ain't a crime if you don't get caught. It ain't a crime if you don't get caught. It ain't a crime if you don't get caught. It ain't a crime if you don't get caught. That's how it is, homie, like it or not. Now coming out the store, Johnny shot two Hasidic Jews. And when they got home, his face was on the news. His mom freaked out, told him get the fuck out.
That's when the pigs rolled up, so yo, we ducked out. He hit the back door like his name was Carl Lewis. Dipped to the payphone to find out where his crew is. He called up his homeboy Jose.
Man, what you doing?
Can I come over, my man? He said, no way. A cop was here, he was looking all over for ya. But I told the pig I didn't know ya. He said, cool, meet me up at the school. I need a ride, cause I'm on it for homicide. Johnny's got a gun and he's on the run, but he don't care. To him the shit's fun, now that he's an outlaw. Sorta like Robin Hood, the hard rock hero of the whole neighborhood. If they catch him, he'll wind up in court. But it ain't a crime if you don't get caught. It ain't a crime if you don't get caught. It ain't a crime if you don't get caught. It ain't a crime if you don't get caught. That's how it is, homie, like it or not. It ain't a crime if you don't get caught. It ain't a sale if it don't get bought. It ain't a show if I don't get paid. She ain't a hoe if you don't get laid.
That 7 train was real crowded. I had to stand up the whole way, but it was a lot quieter. So I talked a lot of shit about Juve 7 train, but you do have that going for you. I also found where the little speedometer room is on the train. So in case you're curious, a local train tops out at about 25 miles an hour. Probably the express ones go faster. So, since I mentioned earlier when I was talking to Ian about Arcade Fire, let's play a song by them. I don't really know that band. There's kind of all these bands of this sort of, I don't know that you'd even call it a necessarily, I don't know, they seem unified in some way, like Broken Social Scene, the Arcade Fire, New Pornographers in some ways, I don't know, what's like Interpol. I guess they're less connected. I don't know where they're from. But I just don't know any of these bands, basically. Just all kind of slipped through my fingers. But I downloaded a torrent of, like, the top 250 greatest Canadian rock songs. And not much of it really stood out. There's this Arcade Fire song that I don't love it, but I don't mind it. Since we mentioned them earlier, fuck it, I'll play it. I think it's called Rebellion. So let's fucking listen to that, shall we? Oh, apparently the fucking U.S. Open is going on. I was wondering why there's so many people on this fucking boardwalk. This fucking... the park with the big ball. The big Men in Black ball. The Flight of the Conchords ball. I assume I can still walk through the park here. I don't know. U.S. Open. My friend Matt's big into tennis. I don't really get it. I don't get sports, though, so of course I don't get tennis. All right, here's a fucking song. Thank you. Let's stick with songs that I don't love, but that I do like. This is one I was gonna put together a show of, like, sort of country-ish songs. I was gonna call it Country Death Songs. And I was gonna play this one on that show, but I don't know that I really got enough material. And this really ain't a country song. But anything that sounds even vaguely country to me suddenly becomes a country song. And are the only types of country songs I actually like are the vaguely country. Anyway, this is Stone Temple Pilots again. Kind of a lot of Stone Temple Pilots going on in this episode. This was some torrent that had just rarities and unreleased section. So I don't know what the fuck this song is, where it's from, what era it falls into. I got no info. But it's called You Can't Drive Me Away, I think. And if you want to get hyper-specific about it, what I really like is the little bridge leading into the chorus. It's very nice. Song in general, though, ain't bad. And, I mean, I like putting in songs that I'm not hyper-familiar with, just so when I listen back to these shows later. You know, it'd be more interesting to hear this song again, because I don't really know it that well. So here is some leftover miscellaneous living its life in the wilds, known only to the internet geeks, Stone Temple Pilots song. Hey, did you know that their name, originally it was like Mighty Joe Young, but it was Shirley Temple's Pussy, supposedly, was their first STP name. I like that. That's a good name. Now let's stick with that theme of songs that I don't entirely love, but they got like a part of them that I love. I was debating whether or not to play this song, but fuck it, man. Let's just goddamn play it. This is Sloan just put out an album called Parallel Play. That, their last album, Never Hear the End of It, Never Hear the End of It, was their longest album. It was basically a double album, despite the fact that it fit on one CD. It just had a lot of short songs. It had a shitload of songs, like 30 songs. And it was really good. I liked it a lot. This new one, conversely, at 37 minutes, is their shortest album. And I don't love it. I don't know. Certainly not as good as the one before it. But there's this little Jay Ferguson song. I was thinking I'm going to go through all the Sloan albums and just collect all, because Sloan's four guys and they all take turns writing songs. Jay doesn't write very many songs. He used to only write like two per album. Sometimes now he pulls out three. He did quite a few in the last one. Anyway, get all of the Jay Ferguson songs together. I could get all of the four guys and put them all together like it was solo albums, but I'm just in this Jay Ferguson mood for some reason. I think I'm going to do that. Just download all his songs, put them together chronologically, see how that turns out. But this song, it's got some nice little bits in it, but really it's at the very, very end of the song when Chris Murphy comes in singing backup as it fades out. It just sounds really cool. So here's Witch's Wand by Sloan.
Remember, I've forgotten that I met you before. It was your friend, distant friend. I really got to know before you lived your witch's wand. Climb up to the roof so we can check out the view. I think somebody spoke, but I didn't have a clue that you lived your witch's wand. Won't you start facing the dragon tonight? Won't you start counting? Wiped out on my bike, you were laughing in the shower. It's seconds till the dawn. Don't bother with the feelings, we'll just set them alight. I know that I've been warned, and you tried to waive my rights with your wicked witch's wand. Won't you start facing the dragon tonight? Won't you start?
See, I was considering just chopping out that last bit and playing that by itself, but what would that be? 20 seconds? That might be a little too hyper-specific. It's fucking internet. Doesn't matter if this show is 8 fucking hours long, so why not just play the whole goddamn thing? Even though I didn't do that with the Army of Anyone song. Let's play another Hayden song, because I got a lot of fucking... a lot of people mentioned that Hayden song in the last show, Skates. Either people that were like, fucking Hayden, I remember him, or Josh Latta, he told me, he's like, I always heard of Hayden. I had a friend who liked Hayden. And that Hayden song was really good. Like, people were feeling the Hayden. So let's play another one. This one is Oh shit, what's this called? See, I just got this awesome new MP3 player that... See, you ask me, iPods. iPods are a big ripoff. $200 for an iPod? Be serious. This thing was $20. I don't know, did I already get into this? $20 for this little tiny, it's like a little clip. It's like a little bit bigger than like a fucking nail clipper, and you can just like clip it to your clothes. It's amazing. Holds like a gig. You just put a bunch of songs on it, it just plays them. Random or in order, whatever you like. $20, man. So great. You could just buy different fucking copies of these, like get a few $20 ones, put different playlists on each one. Fuck your iPods. You don't need all this iTunes fucking bullshit, you just plug it in. Put shit on it. Thank you, China. Anyway, it doesn't have a screen, of course, so, fuck, man, what is this song called? I know this, I know what this song is called. Hold on. I can't remember the name, doesn't goddamn matter. It's from the first Hayden album. Bad as they seem. It's about these kids. It's about this, like, true story of these kids whose mom strapped them into the back of a car and drove the car into a lake to kill them because she didn't want them anymore and she was not a good person. So I said I might play some old Tim Skold shit from his glory days. So let's do that. He's some industrial guy. I don't know. He was in bands. I didn't really know who he was. He had a solo album. First time I heard of him was he did a song on KMFDM's Symbols album, which is like 97, called Anarchy. It's just quite a fine tune, definitely a standout. It's a good fucking album altogether, though. And then he became a member of KMFDM, and then especially after Anesh and Gunter Schultz left, then he was kind of, him and Sasha Konietzko were like the main dudes. I'm a bit of a KMFDM geek, kind of know a lot of shit about them. By the time I finally saw KMFDM, Skold was already out of there, unfortunately, but he did a lot of good stuff while he was there. And I'm going to play this song called Sturm und Drang. That was from Attack. This is Skold and Konietzko together. Together at their finest. I always thought this might be a cool song to play in like a movie. Like, got this book I'm working on, this punk book. So say all the friendlier punks are like hanging out at a show or something. And then the hardcore asshole evil villain punk guy shows up and he's all fucking out of his head on crazy drugs and he just wants to fuck shit up and stab people in busy, you know, crowded clubs and just promote chaos and anarchy because he could probably get away with it because it's so fucking just packed. I thought this might be a nice song. Nice song to play in that kind of situation. So let's fucking let this be the send-off. Here's some KMFDM. Hey, that reminds me. I was reading up shit, and I found out that Anesh and Gunter Schultz started their own side band that apparently, I don't remember the fucking name of it, because I'm out and about, not by my computer. But if anybody out there is a fucking industrial music nerd and has that shit, I couldn't find it for stealing on the internet. So if you got MP3s of that fucking band, whatever the fuck it was called, something about the word idiot, I really can't remember. Anyway, send me that fucking shit, will ya? Thank you.